So Lord, we come before you today so grateful, grateful for a new day, grateful for the breath in our lungs. God, posture our hearts on you this morning. Is there so much to talk about, so much to think about, so much to really be worried about, be concerned about, be grateful for? Allow us to focus on you this morning. Posture our hearts with ones of reverence. And Lord, we ask that you reveal yourself this morning to someone that maybe doesn't know you for who you are. Someone that has been striving and laboring for a relationship with you. Show them that it's freely given. And Lord, we ask that you speak today, that it's your words, not mine. Make your message clear so that every soul that's under my voice can understand it. And of course, allow it to be done gracefully yet truthfully. We ask that your face is revealed in a radical way, one that even the skeptic can't deny. And Lord, of course, we lift up the underground church this morning, a church that is being persecuted across the globe. A church that just desires fellowship with other believers but can't do so because of war or law, injustice, whatever it might be. Lord, give them a breath of fresh air. Speak life into them. And of course, we pray for our church here at Hope in Lowell, Indiana. We ask that you use us. We ask that you be with the sheep that are here at Hope to guide us, and of course, allow us to be a light for your kingdom. We give you all the glory. It's in your Son, Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Well, we are very glad you are here with us. As I said last service, this is the sixth of seven messages in our Let's Talk About It series. Some of you have been here just about every week. I really applaud you for that. Thank you. If you are new, please make sure that you check out that table in the back lobby. We got a gift for you. We want to get something in your hands, but also make sure that you get plugged in. Ultimately, we are glad you're here. Years ago, immigration was a topic that was passed over, ignored, and seldom thought of. That is something that is happening so far down south. This is not something that we need to be worried about, let alone be concerned about when it comes to elections. But the truth is, illegal immigration has always been an issue and it needs to be talked about, but it seldom is. My eyes were first opened to the urgency of this issue when our family was down in South Florida. We were having just a normal day visiting West Palm Beach. We're hanging out on the sand until we look out into the ocean and we see a small raft, almost like a makeshift boat, coming closer to us from the distance. And as we were wondering how in the world that raft was afloat, despite the huge wind and the waves for that day, just as quickly as we could think, the Coast Guard surrounded this raft and a sheriff's helicopter was hovering right over it to ensure that it would get brought to shore safely. This was a regular occurrence in South Florida. And of course, my first instinct to this was, man, if they just made it all the way here on a raft from who knows where, they deserve some kind of reward. Don't they? Let's just let them in. Let's let them come on in, welcome them with open arms. If they can make it that far across the ocean on that thing, let's let them in. But then I looked at my family and my kids that were right there next to me in a beach full of thousands of people. I realized just how important it is that we know who these guests are that are coming to our home, that is South Florida, and ultimately the United States of America. Why do I tell you this story? An estimated 7.2 million immigrants have entered into our nation illegally over the last 3.5 years. These are people that are traveling across the globe, coming from who knows where, carrying who knows what, and coming for a purpose that nobody really knows. And even still, many question why this is something to be concerned about. My answer to the question is that many are not concerned because they're not seeing it firsthand. If you don't live near a border or a major port, you may not realize the magnitude of this issue. But the mindset is already beginning to change. Just a couple of short months ago, there was a stabbing that took place here in our small town of Lowell. And the victim was a 14-year-old girl, with the criminal being one that came into the United States illegally. He was then found guilty of not only coming to the United States illegally, but also of gang activity, attempted murder, and so much more in many areas all throughout the country. So you hear of this story and this example, and many of you have connections to this. You've heard about it in the newspaper, and of course it's old news by now, but it's realistically happening right here in our backyard. But then you go on your social media outlets and you see in many liberal circles this Bible verse, Exodus chapter 22, verse 21, "You shall not wrong a sojourner or oppress him, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt." So if that's what the Bible says, then shouldn't we just welcome all of the immigrants into our country with open arms and give them whatever they need? Give them whatever they want to live here? So what do? How do Christians react to, and I'm going to say it, how do Christians react to this invasion that is happening in our country right now? So you could see how quickly this goes from being a political issue to a biblical issue. Now the questions that I hope to answer for us this morning are these. What does immigration have to do with our faith? And what should our response as Christians be to immigration? But anyway, the point is this. Immigration is not just a political issue. It's a biblical issue. When the safety of your family is at risk, when the safety of your community is at risk, it becomes a biblical issue. And I firmly believe that there is a way to be the hands and feet of Jesus while we are still implementing a secure border. I'm going to say that one more time. I'm going to read it so I make sure I don't get it wrong. I firmly believe that there is a way to be the hands and feet of Jesus while we are still holding firm to implementing a secure border. If you could please turn with me, Romans, the book of Romans, chapter 13. We'll look at verses 1 through 7. I'm going to be using this exact Bible that is in the back of the seat in front of you. You can go ahead and grab it. If you don't have a Bible, please feel free to take that home with you and study it and use it. Romans, the book of Romans, chapter 13. If you don't know how to get there, ask the neighbor. Ask your neighbor. He or she will help you. Romans chapter 13, verse 1 through 7. Great job worship this morning. Amen? Amen. Let's start by reading verses 1 through 3. If you're there, say, "I'm there." There's not enough of you there. I'll wait a little bit more. If you're there, say, "I'm there." Okay, verses 1 through 3. "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval." Let's keep reading 4a. "For he is God, Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval, for he is God's servant for your good. Point number one is simple, and I already said it. The security of a nation's borders is a biblical issue. So Paul is writing to the church in Rome here that they must submit to their governing authority. This is a church that disagreed with the government that was put into place, but Paul was reminding them that it is so important to be respectful of them because they have been put in place, in a place of authority, by God. Psalm 22 verse 8 says, "For kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations." Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6, it's a very popular Bible verse, especially around the holidays. "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and listen, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." So God creates, he establishes, and he decides government. Now the question then arises of, what do you do when the government is not doing the work and the duty that God has established and called them to do? You're asking, well, what are they not doing? What are they not doing? They're not providing security for the people. All throughout the Old Testament, I want you to hear this, when there is a nation with a God-fearing king or a God-fearing ruler, one of the biggest blessings that the nation received was what? Security. And when this king either fell away from the Lord or this king died and an ungodly king succeeded him, the safety of this nation then evaporated. Whether it was because of an invasion or a war, it's really kind of the same thing. But it evaporated. Why? Because God was not with them. This king was not letting God call the shots. What we are witnessing at our southern border is an invasion, and very little is being done to stop it. If you were to ask me, I would even go as far as saying that this invasion is being not just allowed, but encouraged to solicit votes, but I can't prove this, so we're not going to go down that rabbit trail today. The issue that we have at hand, and this is where it gets a little dicey, the issue that we have at hand is not an opportunity for evangelism. It's a call for Christians to be the hands and feet of Jesus by providing security to the ones that we love. There's a huge difference. When there is an invasion at hand and you're being overtaken by an enemy, it's not an opportunity for evangelism, it's an obligation for protection. Now, this is not your pastor telling you to go and take up arms and go into hiding somewhere or jump on down to the southern border. That if you are hearing that, please forgive me. But let me give you an illustration. If you were to be at home one day, and you just happen to leave your front door unlocked, which we do a lot of that in DeMott, and all of a sudden walks in about 10 to 12 people, men, women, and children, and they just start pitching tent right there in your living room. They put down beds, they start using your shower, they rummage through your fridge, and one of them even has the nerve to ask you when you're going to go grocery shopping next. Now let me reiterate, this is not family members. These are not neighbors or family from out of town. These are not your friends from down the road. These are not even people that you know. These are complete strangers from another country speaking an entirely different language. They just walk through your front door. You do not know where they came from. You don't know why they have come. You don't even know what they have in their bags that they just set down on your couch. So what do you do? As the owner of that home and the protector of your family, who has been called by God to do that, what do? Do you make them feel at home? Do you give them a credit card? Say, I'll help you pay your bills? Do you go to the grocery store and make sure that you have enough food for them? Do you open your Bible and say, hey, let's talk about Jesus? No, you call 911 before you can even blink your eyes. The second that someone starts opening your door and walking right in your home, you do not just take that as an opportunity to give them something. You call 911. You go to security. Today we're seeing this happen in our very nation. Maybe it's not our literal homes, but I can guarantee you that if it's not put into check, it will soon be. As we have just learned, people are entering into the United States by the millions, and upon their entering, they are given literal credit cards, health care, and there is even talks of giving them money so that they could buy homes, all while they are in the country illegally. If you don't believe me, listen to this bill that they're trying to pass. They tried passing in California. California lawmakers approved a bill to extend home mortgage aid to undocumented immigrants. This bill, if signed into law, would allow for $150,000 of state-backed funds to aid in illegal immigrant mortgage payments. Thankfully, this bill was vetoed. But I want to say this, the fact that it was even thought of comes to show what's down the road. And when both candidates running for office state that there is a crisis at the border, you know that this is not just your thinking or this is not just your opinion or it's some conspiracy theory, but it's indeed a fact. And what we are to do when both sides of the political spectrum, right, where Christians always discerning the spirit, so when you hear that there is an issue and both sides of the political spectrum are on the same page, and it's in terms of this crisis, you have to take a look away from what they are saying and look at what they are doing. This border crisis is exactly that. It's a crisis. It's a pandemic. It's an invasion. And it's an invasion. So when did it begin? It began 4 years ago when the Biden administration began signing executive order after executive order, peeling back any security that was put in place years prior. Again, this is not an opinion. This is a fact backed up by research. I'd be happy to share with you my sources. So what are they peeling back? Well, they're peeling back laws that were put in place by the administration that was in authority prior. So let's take a look at the left's policy on this issue. The Harris administration will bring to the table a bipartisan border security bill and sign it into law. At the same time, she knows that our immigration system is broken and needs comprehensive reform that includes strong border security and an earned pathway to citizenship. So you hear this policy, and it sounds intriguing, but then you look at the reputation, which in essence is exactly what we're witnessing right now. And you're forced to ask yourself, is what they are referring to as border security simply just a copy and paste of what we've been a part of the last 4 years, or are they genuinely owning up to the problem that they have caused, and now she's saying that she has a resolution? Now, I'm not here to tell you what to think, but I want to help you learn to think using the Bible as your lens, and the point is this. When there is a national security issue that is happening at this very moment, and there is someone that is running for office that can do something about it right now, they should. And if they are only going to sit and talk about it and then tell you that you have to wait until she gets into office, you have to come to the realization that they are not going to provide the solution to the problem. My friend, immigration is not just a political issue, it's a biblical issue. And we need to seek reform as people of God. Let's read verses 4 and 5. We'll start back halfway through 3. Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. for he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. Point number two, God's established government must do what God has called them to do. God's established government must do what God has called them to do. So now Paul is reiterating his point of needing to be in submission to this governing authority because their duty is to be an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. In other words, it's the government's duty to carry out the will of God for the people. So you see Paul writing this, and you almost start to evaluate the current state of your well-being. You start to see this invasion that the government is allowing or even encouraging, and you see the safety of your family in jeopardy, and when you want to take a stand for the truth, you realize it's almost as if you are being punished for doing what is right, and those that do what is wrong are the ones that are being praised. So when you come to that conclusion, you see how obvious it is that the established government is not doing and not fulfilling what God has called them to do and fulfill. And as we learned about in most recent weeks, when the government is not doing what they are called to do, Acts 5, verse 29 says that we are to submit to God and not to the government. For the entire history of the United States, immigration was encouraged, as it should be. Immigration is what helped our nation thrive and become what it is today. But what's not often discussed is the difference between immigration and illegal immigration. Immigration used to be when a person seeking to come to a nation, it used to be when a person seeks to come to a nation with the hope of receiving the benefits and the freedoms in the nation that they're journeying to, but listen, while also doing their part to contribute to that society. This is how America got started. Ellis Island was famously known as the gateway to freedom, as many people seeking to come to the United States would journey here, oftentimes undergoing very harsh conditions just to show up to that island for that slim chance that they would get through. And they would have to go through this island where they'd be heavily vetted and tested to make sure that they were not only aware of where they were going, but also that so that the security could see what they were bringing with them. They wanted to make them aware of the culture. From 1892 to 1954, nearly 12 million immigrants arriving at the port of New York and New Jersey were processed through Ellis Island. This is immigration. That's what immigration is. The country was founded because of this. And many of you in the room have come from families that have immigrated here. Probably a lot of you from the Netherlands. So there's immigration, and then there's illegal immigration. Illegal immigration is when someone comes to a nation through a loophole in the system or a hole in the wall, pun intended, not with the intent of seeking freedom, but rather causing harm, division, and chaos. This is similar to the story that I gave you a while back. A group of people coming into your home uninvited, not knowing where they came from or what they intend to do. And if the government isn't going to do anything to stop it, or at the very least do what they can to prevent it and transform it into one that welcomes anyone and everyone with open arms, you go from a posture of a thriving nation to one that is just merely surviving. And when God's established government doesn't fulfill these duties that they're called to do, you have to ask yourself, what are you able to do to stop it, or at the very least, slow it down? And when you think about it, you'll see that there is a person that is capable of providing a resolution to this issue, and she is literally in office at this very moment, and she isn't doing a thing about it. This is why it's so important that the government must do what God has called them to do and provide what God has called them to provide. You see, security is a blessing. It's a blessing of a nation, blessing to a nation that is genuinely fearing the Lord. Let's read verses 6 and 7. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them. Taxes to whom taxes are owed. Revenue to whom revenue is owed. Respect to whom respect is owed. Honor to whom honor is owed. Point number 3. Immigration left unchecked changes a nation from thriving to surviving. Immigration left unchecked shifts a nation from thriving to surviving. Paul is stating that in order for us as believers and followers of Jesus to avoid God's wrath and maintain a good conscience, we must obey the government that God has established. In other words, give them what they want, even if they don't deserve it. You're not doing it for man, you're doing it for God. Jesus said something similar. He said, when questioned about taxes, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, give to God what is God's. And it's interesting that I don't want to go down a rabbit trail, but I feel it's necessary to press in here. It's interesting that the mentality of the left is to create problems and then use their same ideology to create solutions to the problems that they created. I'm not a tin hat person. Some of you are like, man, I don't know. Sure seem like it now, the last 6 weeks of this series. But I want to open your mind to how far and how deep I believe that this goes with staying to truth. The thinking of the world pushes this idea that you must live your best life now. That you must do everything that you can when you are young. You gotta go out and party and have all the fun that you can. You could settle down when you get older. But this philosophy is then listened to for decades and generations. And then you see a generation that begins to believe that becoming a parent is a burden rather than a blessing because they're not able to do what they want, when they want, how they want, because they have to be responsible. And when this runs consistent, this belief that parenting and having a family is a burden rather than a blessing, when it runs consistent throughout an entire generation, or I would even say many generations, all of a sudden the birth rates start to plummet. Which, by the way, if you want to do any bit of research, statistically, birth rates are at like an all-time historical low in our nation right now, and this is a huge issue. So they created this problem by encouraging you to live your best life now. Go out while you're young. Don't have kids. Don't have a family. They created this problem. Now they're going to create a solution. Let's let illegal immigrants come in and work to fill the roles that are lacking and do the job that nobody else wants to do because we don't have enough people to employ. The issue of a lack of workers in the workforce goes so much deeper than it appears at the surface. And the resolution is not to let people in the country illegally at the expense of safety. It comes back to obedience of God's word all the way back to the time of creation. At Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and every living thing that moves over the earth." There would not be a birth rate plummet if the nation was to take heed to the words of God and look at children and the family as a blessing rather than a burden. So you could see already how quickly it comes back to the family. The enemy hates the Christian family. We're going to be talking much more about that next week. And as I said to first service, if you want to hear the end of this series, and we're going to wrap it all up right before elections take place in just about 10 days, I encourage you to come back next week. But there are so many reasons that God encourages Christians to be the salt and light to the world, to be fruitful and multiply. And a nation that is inobedient to God's word sees this, and security is a blessing that results. But this is what I want you to know today. It's a short sermon. If you're new, you came on a good Sunday. Whenever God established a nation, he did it by establishing borders. Every single time. He did it for Rome. He did it for Babylon. He did it for Israel. There are so many times throughout Scripture that a nation is established, and it is done so with secure borders. But the times when the nation is secure run congruent with the times that the nation is following God's word. I'm going to say that one more time. The times when a nation is secure run congruent with the times that the nation is following God's word. Now, as I was wrapping up this sermon, which, by the way, this was probably the hardest sermon I've ever put together, I felt this pull to give a reminder as we are about to wrap up this series that these issues are important matters to us because we are people of God following the word of God to give glory to who? King Jesus. Can I get an amen? Amen. These are issues that have been long ignored and long pushed to the side, and it makes you look out your window and start saying, what in the world is happening to this nation? It's because we've gotten away from God's word and because we've ignored these issues. And once you ignore these issues and you get away from God's word, the nation begins to crumble as a result. There's a lot that's at stake over these next 10 days. But at the end of the day, these conversations should not be ones where we raise a fist, chanting our favorite political party, but rather should be ones that draw us to our knees, where we raise a banner, and that on that banner is the name King Jesus, because he's not just in the middle of these issues. He is the conqueror who has overcome the world. It is him who we love. It is him who we praise. And it is him who we glorify. Let us be people that chase after the heart of God more than we chase after anything else. Let's pray. So God, we do that today. We lift up your name above all else. At a season of our nation where it is so easy to take our eyes off of you, Lord, allow us to maintain that posture. One that raises your banner high more than anything else. Keep us focused on you. Calm our hearts, any anxieties or fear that may result, and remind us that you are still on the throne and no election season will ever change that. And we give you all praise. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.